Okay, James, we're back here for the fifth hour. We're just getting started. Now, Leon, I was watching Carolyn saunter about the room here with her new freshly minted popcorn as she responded to the natural rhythms of walking. And I was thinking, the rhythms of walking is probably how you feel, Leon, when you're walking down the street stoned on RNA drops, right? Don't you feel like those 1960 rhythms? Maybe Leon's gone.
Swaggers and bops to my walk now. That's one thing, too, I can build into that. I have, like, a little hop in my walk now. It's no more of a, you know, kind of like a slide of my feet. Like, I have a hop, so I can say that.
Well, did that music express that hop, or is it too dense?
Yeah, I don't think it really doesn't. I don't know. It's hard to say. It depends. I can always use, I can make it work for me in that situation, but I felt like dancing, so. I felt like...
Okay, that's a little too thick, too much meatball in that song. Meatball walk. Maybe the walk of Muhammad Ali after he won in 1960, won the Olympics. Some kind of Muhammad Ali rhythm there, right?
Boxer. Yeah, you can say that.
So we're getting some good
emails.
That's
one guy I never kept up with.
What?
That was one person in the past I never really kept up with.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, like he was interesting, but just something about him, I mean, like, I think what I loved about him that he had the courage, but then after a while, it's just when he started to go to the, what was his religion again? It was,
Muslim.
Yeah.
Islam.
Yeah, when he, as soon as he went that route, I was got kind of bored and like, all right, I'm done. Because it was just, you know, saying, it was, I don't know, the words didn't make me feel extremely happy. You know, I was like, oh, you know, same rhetoric I hear already in the streets, you know. So,
well, there's a lot to say about Ali. I don't want to get distracted. Just to count, we went and visited him in 1975, and he had a T-shirt he gave out, and Carol wore that in her bed for 15 years. She had a Muhammad Ali T-shirt on, and that's what I think of. I think of Carol when I think of Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
But listen to this. We got Sky Goddess Sue, and Leon, you're a regular listener. You've heard of Sky Goddess Sue. She's flying around the world. She's in Barcelona right now, and she writes this. She says, I'm listening to you and watching the day break over Barcelona, Spain, with RNA drops under my tongue, feeling how wonderful and thrilling and enriched my life is. Thanks for a great show. I am in your future now, and it's spectacular.
That's
Deb,
great.
And then Deb of Idaho says, uh-oh, where did you go? No one is on, but the website says live and is broadcasting. So I assume Bill knows what that means, either there... computer is in a time warp, but we're on the air and we're going. And then Foo Fighter, who is a regular over at fivebody.com, he's been talking to me for years. He announces that he's here, and then he says, a couple hours later, he says, not really sold an RNA drop, seems a little squishy, but I might try it. And he says, night all, it's almost 2 a.m. here, and I need sleep. So he conked out, and then...
Well, if he had RNA drops, he wouldn't eat food.
Yeah, good point, Carol. Excellent point.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and then Ronald Dwayne Cochran says, cool, 5 hours, yeah! Now, he's just stoned of being able to email us and bug us, right? That's what he likes about this, I think. Let's see. Now, here's an exciting thing. I took Cider Somerset's suggestion and went over to Project Camelot. He sent me the link to the thread he started, and it's hilarious. So he starts this thread on May 11th. He says, Bob, James, and Carolyn explaining Ascension, the 144 double helixes, chromosome 14 RNA. So he says, this is the first show in the new version of Cash Flow with Bob, James, Dr. Carol Dean, and Ion. Not on this show, in brackets, Ion. They have changed the show time to Thursday evening, which translates to stupid o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m., I think, in England. So then he says, so he's telling these people, don't even know what he's talking about. And he goes, 26 minutes into the first part of tonight's show, Bob starts explaining the relevance of the changing of the cells for ascension in relation to 144 double helixes, chromosome 14, and the significance of RNA drops, and its relationship to the book of Revelations, which is the first book of the Bible, and Genesis, which is the last. It's an interesting segment through till the end. It's also a good time for anyone to start listening and catch up with him. Then he says, I've only listened to part one so far. So then...
Well, he got it wrong. It's 144,000.
Yeah, good point. So then, seven users, Allie, Lisa Ebb, Messiah Muse, Minkton, Mystique, and Soul Safari, and Unearth 9, all go, thank you for telling us about this. Okay, so we got seven thank yous. And then Allie comes in and says, I listened as I dozed in and out. Among so much lackadaisical laughter, there are awesome pearls of wisdom. And some things are so way outside the box that it's mind expanding. For me, at least, I just like these guys.
Good.
So Cider Somerset responds by posting Sheila's painting. And then he says, part two is crammed full of recap information from series one. And then you have the big painting. Then he says, all human beings are God. There is no God outside of human beings. These human creators are creating all that is. At one point, these human creators forfeited their power, put it in a box. the Ark of the Covenant, called the Mercy Seat, and began to believe that God was something outside of themselves. All this was for the experience. Human creators can be, do, or have anything, including experience. They are not the powerful creators that they indeed are. John the Revelator wrote of this process in the biblical book, The Revelation of John. The Revelation of John foretells all of the other books of the Bible, which is read back to front, beginning with the Revelation and ending with Genesis. Human creators have not yet experienced the Garden of Eden. This is to come. Okay? So then, seven people, Allie, Billy J, Maya, Gabriel, Mystic, Nancy V, White Cow, Black Deer, and Unearth 9 say, thank you, Somerset, for this useful post.
Oh, gosh, that's incredible, all that stuff going on over
yeah,
there.
Then Mystique comes in. It was an excellent show, sighed Somerset, and worth listening to again. I thought it was interesting in the second hour of the discussion about how people in RNA drops not only affect the people around them when they exhale, but the environment also. For example, stains on the toilet going away. This is a good recap for what we did. It was also interesting how the 144,000 strands of DNA have a base, a foundation of four that relates to the four winds, the four directions, and the four technologies, which I think Bob said was TV, radio, satellite, and...
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, James, you still there?
Yeah, where? Yeah. See?
I'm still there.
I love the way this goes because, like, the sound goes in, the sound goes out. You skip in, skip out. I never know what's happening, but it's great. Go ahead.
Bob, you're saying? Knocked off.
Did he get knocked off?
I'm here.
Yeah, see?
You're there?
I'm here.
Yeah, it must be Bob and Carolyn got knocked off.
Huh. Bill, can you hear me? Send me a signal, Bill. If you can still heal me, there's...
James, Bob, and Carolyn, and I've got Chad on hold on the other line, and I'll try to reset with Bob and Carolyn as soon as they call back.
Okay, all right. All right, so we're waiting for those guys to call back. Bill just mentioned that to me right now, so Chad, I know you're holding, and I know, Leon, you're holding too, so... when those guys get back on, we'll get to it. But I couldn't, whether anybody can hear this or not, and I'm sure we're going to go over this question because it's probably one of the most important questions that's come through from Foo Fighter. And he's asking, will RNA drops make my balls bigger? I want them to hang to my knees. And we just finished saying you can have, do, or whatever that you want. So, you know, go for it. Let us know. Yeah, let us know. If necessary, you know, document it. Document the process and let us know that stuff. Now, okay, Deb in Idaho. Where did you go? See, they cut themselves off. They decapitated themselves. No one is on, but the website says live and is broadcasting. Okay. All right, wait a minute. Susan in North Carolina, yes, the sound is going out, then magically seems to reappear. And then Sarah says, holy shit, so many computer anomalies. My computer skipped out at the same time. That's really weird. So are people having computer problems and the sound skipping out? The whole thing's... Okay, Chad, you can hear me? Leon, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what about
Chad?
Okay,
James.
Okay, there, you're back.
Yeah, I think I blew it out because I was yelling the Mystique. Did you hear me reading Mystique's response to our show last week?
Mystique, didn't... Yeah, you did that a while ago.
Yeah, did you hear this line? She goes, it was also interesting how the 144,000 strands of DNA have a base, a foundation of four that relates to the four winds, the four directions, the four technologies, which I think Bob said was TV, radio, satellite, and computer, internet. Did you hear me read that before?
No.
You got cut off right there.
Got cut off. You've been off.
Right
have
there.
You been talking this entire time?
Yeah, I think I was so excited I got the energy just knocked us out. But so Mystique continues. The other mind-boggling thing was that portaling is actually going through a part of your cell, the ionosphere of the cell, and that once one cell gains more DNA strands, it only takes 7 more, a total of 8, to start to change the whole body through a fractal antennae. There is a pin tab. Now, she's trying to say pentad, P-E-N-T-A-D, but she thinks it's P-I-N-T-A-V, as in Bob. There is a pin tab, Bob says, in the center of the cell with 5 arms. This represents 5 stages you go through in the ascension process. 1, realizing there is no time. 2, realizing the difference between power and authority. 3, talking to objects and angels. 4, something about the blood. And 5, sitting on your throne.
Right.
This is the instant dogma procreation. Then she says, in hour 3, Bob talks about the fact that we have more non-physical than physical, and we can start to think of it as an endless supply of energy. This must be what we want to start working with before cold fusion technology becomes more prevalent. It is a mindset as much, it is a mindset as much as a technology. Good show, lots of gems. Then 6 or 7 people say, yeah, we like that post. And then Cider Summer comes back in and says, well put, Linda. It's incredibly detailed information not to be true, in my humble opinion. What the hell? It's incredibly detailed information not to be true. Oh, meaning it must be true if it's so detailed. I've been listening to them for over 2 years, and if they are frauds, I can't see it. I cannot see how they are frauds. Other than the cell RNA drops, which they are anti-promoting. We are anti-promoting RNA drops. Then he says the ability to talk to the technology. See, they're already adopting the angels of technology information. All the regular INETs, they won't have it, but the newbies, they take it on right away. He's saying the ability to talk to the technology and the environment is angels is all around us. Your blood has become incredible. You are on your throne. It is in your cell, and that medicine does not understand that we are the cell and we affect it. Then he quotes the great Dr. Dean, the great physician, quote, I did not know there is a bathtub in my cells. That's true holographic reality, says Dr. Dean. I never knew you said that, Carol. Does that sound familiar?
A bathtub?
Yeah, there is a bathtub in your cell.
I remember that one. That one I remembered.
Okay. Then they go, the blood of the lamb or sheep is quoted a lot in the Old Testament. They knew that it's exactly the same as a perfect human being. Then they go into detail about the cell splitting, double helix chromosome, 14, etc. So it's like this guy's just writing down the stuff as he hears it. It's like his diary. And then 4 people said, thank you, Cider Somerset, for that useful post. And then there's more. I'll stop. Okay, okay, we got Chad here. Number 1, what do you have to contribute, Chad?
I didn't hear the whole show. I heard part of the beginning. Did you get it into the grid conversation at all? The grid and
no,
the,
no, do no. it. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah. One of the things Ion laid out, I think probably started talking about it over a year ago, was that if you had a sine and cosine wave, you could control the world. Isn't that how you put it?
Yep. Yeah. If you know what that means.
If you know what that means, yeah.
I got a sine and cosine dangling here in my left pocket, but, well, I actually already did take over the world, so it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah, well, we've got plenty of images. We've got a huge inventory of different visuals laid out by Ion over the last year or so on that topic.
Yeah.
And,
well, you can go into it a bit.
Yeah, well, earlier, I tuned in when Janie was on talking about the Ark of the Covenant and how it actually has to do with the sine and cosine.
Yes.
And it's interesting that the the refraction, the angle of refraction that allows a human being to see a rainbow is 42 degrees.
Yeah.
Or it was. Of course, that's changing now.
Yeah.
And one of the things Ion used as a visual to break us into that process of the sine and cosine was the unit circle, which is we look at the clock and we see time, and it looks like the hands on the clock are turning clockwise. course. That's why it's called clockwise. But Ion says that it's wrong, that with the example of the unit circle, you have this 360-degree circle and split into four quadrants, one up and down, one left to right, bisecting it each way. And it's supposed to go around counterclockwise. And he says if humans figured that out, that it's supposed to move counterclockwise, that we would come into a new level of knowing. And apparently some of the secret societies knew this, and the people who built the pyramids knew this.
Yeah, the Freemasons have the image of the clock going backwards. That's their symbol for what you just are talking about. They knew that.
Yeah, I remember in one of my earlier sessions, Ion mentioned something about that's why the Freemasons' clocks run backwards.
Right, and I want to say, anybody, just look up Unit Circle, UNITCIRCLE, Wikipedia, and you'll see it all laid out there, what Chad's talking about. Unit Circle.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the more we got into talk, and there's voluminous amounts of information about this laid out.
Let's go into as if we were going to teach them how to do this formula. Let's begin. You got your XY grid.
Yeah.
So you're good at this. So start.
Yeah.
The first
Ion said if you can't remember, triangulate. And then proceeded to step-by-step layout a formula for doing so. And it starts with, take your unit circle, and you have your two axes. You've got your y-axis that goes up and down. You have your x-axis that goes left and right. And then you pick three values. So let's say we take the temperature.
Take the stock market. Take the stock market.
Okay, sure. Let's take three stocks. Let's take the price of Apple stock. Let's take the price of Microsoft stock, and then pick a third value, we'll say Exxon. And what you do is you pick the one that you want to predict in the future, we'll make that the A value. So we'll say we want to know what Apple's going to be in 7 days. So we plot that Apple value on the Y-axis. So we'd go up, if it's at 635, we'd go up 635 squares on the graph paper and plot it there. And then, so we take the next one, which was, what did I say, Microsoft, and let's say Microsoft is at $100. So we go up 100, plot that there, below the Apple one on the y-axis. So
then on the y-axis.
On the y-axis, still the one that goes up and down. And then we take the third value, which is Exxon, and we go over on the x-axis, and we go out to the right. If the price of Exxon was, let's just arbitrarily say it's 200, so we go over 200 to the right and put that dot. So now we have three dots. We have two on the y-axis and one on the x-axis. And then what we're going to do is connect them. Connect the A to the C value, so the Apple to the Exxon, and then we connect the Microsoft to the Exxon. So now you're looking at a triangle. So that's the beginning of the process of taking three values and sort of stretching them over an arbitrary grid, so that you have a foundation to start running some of the rest of the formula.
So what's the next stage?
So the next stage is finding the epicenter between those three points. It's similar to what they do when they're trying to find the epicenter of the earthquakes.
Yeah.
And you would take the half of the line segment from Apple to Microsoft, and then you find half of line segment from Microsoft over to the one on the x-axis,
Exxon,
which is Exxon, and then you find half of the hypotenuse, which is the one from Exxon going back up to Apple. So you find the half of each one of those line segments, and then you have to draw lines from the half on the line to the opposite corner. So you get these. You get more lines going by, like cutting the triangle in half one way and cutting it in half the other way and cutting it in half another way. So now they should meet in the center, and that's where your epicenter is. So that would be where your earthquake is emanating from if you had been measuring in three different arbitrary locations. So this is similar to how GPS works on the iPhone.
Yeah.
It'll hit three towers, and it'll calculate how long it took for the time codes to reach your phone from the satellite. And then it'll know because, okay, this arbitrary tower number 3 took 500 milliseconds, and at the rate that radio waves travel, that means it's this much distance. So there's a lot of trigonometry involved in this, but the thing about triangulation is it combines trigonometry with flat plane geometry, which hasn't been merged before as a discipline.
No. That's what okay, I am contributed. So are you hearing this,
Bob,
James,
gotta,
and Leon
gotta,
and Brian?
I got a dash. Somebody just screwed up my plane ticket. I'm signing off. I'll be back. See you next week. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, oh. Leon, Chad, Carolyn, Bob. Talk to you later.
Okay. Have a good one, James. Just when we were about to give him the formula on how to make more money than you.
That's the fate of the little man, the little radio host.
I guess it's the vibrational proximity thing, eh?
Yeah. So now, is Brian still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now Brian's familiar with this this formula. What would you add to what Chad said, Brian, if anything?
Well, I mean, there's more process to it. For example, he says find the epicenter, but there's a whole system to finding the epicenter, and then he hasn't even gotten to the angles yet. Each angle is significant, and then you got to write justify the triangle that he established, the 3 points that gives you your angles, and then you're going to use those angles and the radius which he's going to get from the epicenter that he's talking about, because each one of those points is each one of those points represents a circle, which is what you're doing, because you're taking vibration frequency and you're plotting it. What he's saying, you're plotting it on a surface, which is time. That's how you make time tell. But anyway, maybe I'm getting ahead, but I don't think Chad was finished explaining it.
No, the point is that this merging of trigonometry and geometry was given to us by Ion, and this was the kind of information you could get in a private session with Ion. No one had ever heard of this before. Chad was one of the first to get it. A few other people got it. Brian got it, and there's still more to be worked on in their cases, but I just wanted to give you, Leon, the example of the range of experience you could have in a private session with Ion. This is what you come up with.
Yeah. I mean, I was more stuck on just trying to figure out my position in life as much as possible. But, now, especially within these last, I could say, four to five months, I mean, I just hit a new level. Now I'm ready to really engage. Because, I mean, I don't know if you still can remember my first session. I mean, Ion clearly pointed out, he was like, all right, Leon, we're going to put your little big toe in the water first, and we're going to, switch off with that. Because, he really had to, kind of help me play with the water of understanding. I think that's the best way to say it. But, I love what you guys just pointed out, and I'm looking at it right now on the Internet, and I think, especially the example about, the iPhone, how, the three towers and pretty much, how they're able to calculate your position, getting a great way to actually kind of look at this equation. Because, when I look at it, especially full center, it's what the hell am I looking at? But, if you can just pull, one metaphor, it's easier to start to, now I need to look at this a different way. And it, it's not just numbers and shapes and size, or numbers and shapes. It's much more, so. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, keep talking. You got an African listener, so.
Yeah, I think that's that's one of the purposes of triangulation is to, if your mind has to have something, if it needs some kind of mechanism in order for you to get over the concept that you have to have some kind of mentation going on in order for you to know, then this provides that. And the main thing about triangulation is that Ion said all along there's no time, and then with triangulation, Ion came back and said there is time. It's just that time is a false premise, and because it's a false premise, you can use it and abuse it any way you want. So you can use time because it's fake, you can use it for anything. So you can calculate the price of something in 10 days. In that 10 days that you're laying out when you're doing triangulation, it's totally arbitrary. Like what's 10 days? Is it like 10 memories of a day, 10 perceptions of a day, you know?
Yep. Go ahead.
Just wanted to point something out, because especially as you were just saying, like, I remember watching the movie Network, the 1970s film that the reporter was, he finally kind of cracked, and everyone was like, oh my God, I'll listen to this guy. But I love the part when he actually went too far, and one of the head honchos pulled him into the room, in that very special room with the long table and all the lights.
Yeah.
And I love how he says, like, oh, yeah, you know, dude, I don't know if you understand about, you know, something about the colleges of corporations, and then most importantly, how people calculate, you know, the next week price of juice or stuff like that. And it's a good job, guys. Now I get to understand how to play this field a little bit more.
Yeah, that you have meddled with the forces of the universe. And you will atone. The world is a business. It says, and he goes into it. There are no Arabs. There are no Russians. It's perfect. We should play that sometime. You know, the guy who wrote that was a student of McLuhan in the 50s.
See, now, when I watched that, I was like, whoever wrote this film hit all cylinders of today. Because, I mean, you can look at so many, you know, reporters today, you know, going off the wheel.
Yeah.
But in the reality of it all, it's true. I mean, it's weird. I'm a little tired, so I'm not going to be all, like, you know, super energetic. But it's great.
That's good.
And it's tomorrow.
I just want to tell you, since we're moving into the fifth hour, I think we're breaking the envelope. Listeners are hallucinating. Or maybe Bill can look at this. Someone says that, yes, the sound is going out, then magically seems to reappear. Now, I heard that during the commercials a bit. Then Sarah says, holy shit, so many computer anomalies. My computer skipped out at the same time as Deb or Susan. Then Susan says, it's on now. Then Sarah says, my sound is skipping out too. Then Susan says, I heard Bob's whole rant twice now about the four elements. So maybe the sound thing is different for different people. And then Susan puts a sad face on, sound gone again. You know, but he's able to email us, you know. And then Cider Somerset, the guy who I was reading the thread that he caused, he says, glad you enjoyed the thread, Bob. You got to remember, we are trying to explain this info to people who have not heard the show. So we have to explain it in plain English. And it's difficult to put all this info down in words, especially as I don't understand it myself yet. but he says I feel it important to get it out there to more human creators to come into their power. So I'm doing a Jesus 4 impression. He's claiming he's the fourth Jesus, spreading the word. So, anyways, you want to go on to some other topics, Brian or Chad?
Well, I was just looking at some of my notes here, and we were just talking about triangulation. And triangulation brings in the satellite, three satellite triangulation.
Yeah.
And just looking at some of my rewrite notes, and it says, when the fat of a membrane picks up a vibration, so there's that fractal, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's not the fractal, not the Mandelbrot design that repeats itself. This is basically an antenna. It's what we mean
exactly.
By fractal.
So when I said that's the fractal, I mean the fat of the membrane. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when the fat of the membrane picks up a vibration, it responds. And this is paraphrased from Ion. And then the next line is, like when you line up the azimuth of a satellite dish and point it to another satellite. So he's comparing when the fat of your membranes picks up a vibration, it responds the same way that you line up one satellite to hit another satellite up in the sky.
That's what Brian was trying to say. I don't know if you heard that. He was talking about the cells activating each other. Right, Brian?
Yeah. Like the perfect cells, once you get the one perfect cell and then the eight perfect cells, those cells broadcast that perfection, and through the lipids, what you're saying, the fat, or the lipids on each cell of all these other cells are picking up that information, and then they respond in kind after they pick up the information from the other cell.
Okay. Yeah, and the next line that I got kind of continues what Brian just talked about. And again, paraphrase from Ion in a rewrite session. Only relationships between objects can be observed. The relationship just is. This is a signal. With no lipid system, no prayer of engaging ESP, this makes the hairs stand up on the back of your neck. So he's saying that this, what Brian was talking about, of this signal is being sent between cells, that's the feeling you get when your hair stands up in the back of your neck. And it shows up on the largest organ of the body, the dermis. It's how your body notices static electricity. Lipids pick up electrical signals. So that's where, you know, we talked about fractal last week, and Bob was trying to make it clear we weren't talking about Mandelbrot, and I don't know how much more you got into it in the earlier hours of the show, but this should give a little bit more definition of what ion means by fractal and fractal antenna.
Right. No, it's important. I am looking at this incredible thread that Sider Somerset has sparked. It seems to go on a long time, and here is someone, seems to be a Bible expert, and he says, I listened to two of the radio shows in archive radio, and the topic was interesting, but for 2 one-hour shows, there was around 15 minutes of interesting information. Number one show was all a bit of a babble, everyone speaking at one time and mostly way off topic. Ion was quoted quite a lot, so I thought I'd better give him a listen. I listened to Ion and these shows here, so he goes to Information Farm, but I am sorry to say I did not agree with his personal interpretations of Revelations. Ion's personal opinions did not appeal to this guy. Again, the topic was very interesting, and he knows his Bible very well, but he contradicted himself many times, and in my opinion was making it up. making it up in his personal interpretation as he went along. See, this is fun to read people who are not familiar with him, what they think, their first impressions. You know what I mean? And
you know, that's not that bad. You know what he said was, because I could tell you there was times when, hell, I thought the same thing. I'm thinking, man, he is just making this shit up. after you go through and you keep engaging and you go on, those things that I'm thinking, okay, he made that up, right? But then you go on down the road and you start putting more pieces together, and then you go back and then you're thinking, no, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't make that up. It's starting to follow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have
to
stay with it.
Yeah. He goes. That's right. And he goes. One example is when asked about Revelation 1:12, and then he quotes it. The figure like the Son of Man, dressed in a white robe, golden girdle, head as white as snow, eyes like a burning flame, and his feet like burnished bronze, and voice like the sound of an ocean. He quotes that, and he says, Ion replied that this was John trying to describe God. And then this guy writes, Billy writes, well, this is the Son of God, Jesus. So he doesn't think that's God. But he thinks, he doesn't know it's describing Billy. It's describing Billy, neither God or Jesus, in the old sense. And then Billy writes, and later in Revelation 2:18, the same description confirms that this is Jesus. And he quotes it. Here is the message of the Son of God, who has eyes like a burning flame and feet like burnished bronze. End of quote. But when Ion was asked about this chapter, he obviously forgot what he had said before and answered that the feet of bronze represented being grounded. In brackets, as if the Son of God needed to be weighted down, for goodness sake. He repeated the scenario many times throughout the interview. So sorry, Ion, I do not agree with your personal take on Revelations, but each to their own. So that guy goes back to the drawing board. He missed the boat.
And then
Sider Somerset, you know, he might think that he has to defend Ion, so he comes in and he goes, no problem, Billy. You gave it a listen. And if it does not resonate, no problems. Ion does my head in sometimes, too. As I've said, I've listened to the show for 2 years, and that's how they bill it, a show. And when challenged by many on air, he usually says, quote, we don't care, suit yourself. There's no way, I'm saying, to run a class. What are your teachers? Your teacher is telling the students, well, I don't really care how you respond. You just have to sit here because it's the law. So then the guy, Sider Sumption, goes, or something similar. And yes, he is very annoying and very knowledgeable. We all thought he was making this up. But if he is a genius, and yes, you can pull him up, but he is an enigma. The credibility of the rest of the gang, especially James and Dr. Carolyn Dean, I guess they're credible. Bob is a self-confessed former insider, and at 90 years old is pretty sharp. They have kept me intrigued. If this info has any merit, it's going to happen soon, as far as I can tell. If not, he can join the rest of the false messengers as said before and answers one of your points. The shows are not scripted, and there is frivolity, sometimes too much. But I'm keeping with it, and I'm still fully involved with the rest of the scene on here at Project Avalon, Steve. So I won't keep going on, but I find that, what do you think of that, Brian, these responses?
I think they're pretty good. It reminds me, a lot of it reminds me of, you know, I mean, the early days. I mean, a lot of what they're saying, I mean, I went through a lot of what some of them are going through now, but
Well, you know, Brian, the very first session, I didn't even know what was happening on March 18th. I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, I think that maybe I'm talking to the Evergreens, but I keep thinking JW is trying to pretend he's a medium. I thought JW was just trying to fake it on me. And I had that thought for a week or so. But then when I could go on for hours, and JW had no clue what was being talked about, really didn't have a clue, and then when he listened to one recording of about 3 or 4 hours, he was so shocked at what Ion said, he either was a brilliant actor or it wasn't him. So that's... It took a week or so even for me to fully, you know, accept what was going on.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes it happens that way, but as you keep going, I find myself that a lot of the things that I thought was just, well, like I said, I mean, he's just pulling this out of his ass. He's making this shit up. I mean, this is ridiculous. and then something happened, you're like, oh, this kind of goes back to what he said earlier that I just couldn't get, you know, I couldn't get my mind around, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, I was listening to something, a session from 2009. Carol and I were talking, and I'm listening along, and Ion's got a long talk, and I'm listening to it. It makes total sense. It's pretty complex stuff, but I'm totally understanding it and just go, oh, yeah, that's right. And then I, back then, come on the recording and go, what the hell are you talking about? I have no idea what this babble was. So I'm listening to myself 3 years ago, have no clue, yet now I can understand it. And it's very complex.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you get used. It's not being brainwashed. It's just that you learn. I've learned a lot the last 3 years so that I can understand something that 3 years ago sounded ridiculous.
Yeah, that happened to me when I went back through some of the early cash flows. I'll go back to the early cash flows and re-listen to some of them. And I can remember, it's almost as if, okay, I can remember where I was then, listening then, and how what you're saying is like this, I don't know what he's even talking about. What's he saying?
Yeah.
And then go back now and listen to it, and like what you said, it makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, I know exactly what he's saying. I know exactly what he's talking about. And then, and even listening to you or James, it's like, oh, they don't have a clue what he's actually saying. But, you know, when you go back and listen to it, it's like, yeah, it does make perfect sense.
Yeah, now, Chad, you're still here. You missed the first hour, right, Chad?
I heard like the first 15 minutes of the show, and then I was off for 2 hours, and then came back and listened.
Okay, so did you hear the bit on the Xenocrony?
What, the Android meme audio clips?
Hey, listen, just a minute. Bill's saying, what's the plan? Yes, we're going to go another hour. Okay, Bill, play the song, the other intro, Carlos Jobim. Carlos, no. anybody got a favorite? I don't know how quickly Bill can find something. Antonio Carlos Jobim. Or maybe play nothing, Bill. Let's just come back on. Heck with the music.
What do you do a buffer for?
Yeah, but we don't need music, Bill. Where's the music?
I was going to ask you. You're watching that series Touch, right? The
yes.
Fox Touch. See, I'm still on the archives, but I think it was 2 weeks ago they were actually talking about triangulation. I mean, it was very, very basic, but they were. But a lot of that was about triangulation in that whole.
Yeah, it was. I saw
the astronaut.
That.
Yeah, the astronaut one. Yeah.
It was funny because I watched that episode of Touch, and then I think the same night, later that night, I watched the archive of the previous Fringe, it might have been. So I watched them back to back, and they were both talking about triangulation. It was interesting.
Well, you know what? So you did not hear the Xenocrony, Ion explaining Xenocrony in the first hour, Chad?
No.
Yeah, in the next hour I want to play this for you, because you're familiar with this, and I want to see what you make of it. Because an example was, you know, every week in Fringe, they're mirroring what's going on here at Dobbstown or with JW. Well, you know, the last couple of shows, Peter is walking around with his arm in a sling, right?
Right.
Well, I hurt my right arm, the same arm, you know, surfing. And I'm walking around the same 2 weeks, not in a sling, but with a damaged shoulder, you know, a hurting shoulder. It totally synced in, even though that was recorded, 6 months ago, whenever they made it. That's an example of the syncing, and you got to hear this. I found this way back in 2009. Ion explains the Xenocrony, how this happens. So I'll look forward to playing for that. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Bring up another topic, or I'll read some more emails.
Well, today I was sitting in the building that they used to represent Walter's lab on Fringe.
Oh, yeah, you were in the actual building.
Yeah, I was in that building today. I was in there for a few hours, actually, on my computer, and I was listening to an old tailgate, one of the 12-hour marathons from March 2010. And 8-Bit had called in, and you were talking to 8-Bit about how he had actually hung out with John Noble, the actor that plays Walter.
Yes, he met him in the apartment, his friend's apartment.
Yeah, so as you were talking about how earlier in the show you played the Ion Xenocrony thing, and then you were having your arm in a sling the same time that Peter had his arm in a sling, I couldn't make clear whether or not 8-Bit had called in on this show tonight, or whether, like, they're all, it's all bleeding into one moment, you know?
Yeah, that's why I don't accept Ion saying I have no memory. I remember a lot, but there's just so much bleeding, it's hard to make the distinction, but if given a chance...
Yeah, that's kind of like what Ion used to call stacks of now. Where they're,
yeah,
you know, all your different moments are all stacked up on top of each other, and you're kind of wading through them all.
But, I like to think of them, think of it this way, you know, what do they call those little things in a package, you call those little white things, popcorn? Little white foam things they put in a box?
Peanuts.
Yeah. Think of yourself standing in the middle of a box with all these peanuts around you. Though they're not necessarily all stacked up, they're right around you. They're all around you, you know, cushioning you. These other nows.
Yeah. But if anybody has a chance to listen to the tailgate from March 24th, 2010, it's 12 hours long. It's good to listen to on overseas flights. But there's a lot of information laid out in there, a lot of stuff, detailed stuff about parallel world traveling and the wire whisk metaphor to explain how people travel through portals.
Yeah,
there's an explanation of the singularity,
and also the emptying the guff section. The first time Ion explained the emptying of the guff, which we feature on the addenda section of howionic.com. It's at the top. You can hear the 11-minute emptying the guff, which comes in about the 8th or 9th hour in the March 24th, 2010 tailgate. But that was an important statement. And I want to tell you something, Jed. I'm reading Thomas Pynchon's book, Inherent Vice, written in 2009. It is exactly what's going on right now with us here in Iondom.
Okay.
It's a big hint, people. Now, I know Sheila listened to the audiobook of that a year or two ago, and she just found it, didn't know anything about Thomas Pynchon. And Ion has talked a lot about Thomas Pynchon in the past, but it's incredible. If I had known that book in the summer of 2009, right when I'm interacting with Ion, it would have been a weird, heavy, intense Dinocrony experience. But I've got the cushion of 2.5, almost 3 years, so it's interesting to read it. Inherent Vice, Thomas Pynchon.
I heard earlier in the show you mentioned that is a novel, yeah. There's something in it about the Unix time?
Yes, it's the September 69 when Dave Wurster and the Cosmic Awareness people had the apex of polarity on September 5th, 69. That was the week. Remember I read it to you from that book. That was the week they hooked the first four computers up in Stanford and UCLA and maybe up in Salt Lake City. And that was the beginning of the computers talking to each other. Remember we talked about that one night?
Yeah,
and that is talked about. Pynchon, the book is about the period of the spring of 1970 when Carol and I were in L.A. I said years ago when I heard about this book, I said, oh, that's about me and Carolyn, leading up to when we got married in June 1970. But I had not read the book. Now I'm shocked at how accurate my intuition was. And it's about 69-70 after the Manson murders, and what happened to L.A. and the beginning of that computer network and a whole bunch of other things. He's basically, I'm two-thirds through the book, he's showing the beginnings of the Android meme and all the different events across society, the different things that were going to come in. He's showing the beginning points of it that will be repeated and intensified over the next 40 years. And it's a great cross-section of American life, the way he does it. The guy knows everything about every little skill. It's pretty encyclopedic. It's like James Joyce's Ulysses. Encyclopedic details about different professions.
Right. Well, yeah, that's an important event, and the activation of those nodes to create what we now call the Internet. And
did you see my post about that on Dupe's?
Yeah.
Yesterday I posted the Bob on Crack thing about the beginning of the Android means time. Maybe we could explain that later. Okay, Leon, you got anything to say?
Not really. I know I need to head out. I can't do the 6 hour. I'm still kind of bad, but
just young.
Good question.
You're just young.
I know. I'll catch up with you guys. Don't worry. I'm just right behind you. But I was just going to ask this one little question because I'm a pretty good damn baker. And I was wondering,
yeah,
if I ever put RNA drops in my products, how would that operate? I mean, does it lose its specs, or is it still as strong as ever?
Okay, that Carolyn, do it again. Say that again.
If I decided to use RNA drops in baking, like maybe in two or three drops.
In
like
baking.
My particular, yeah.
It'll stand up in baking.
It'll survive it, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
right,
Leon, you got that?
I got it.
Okay, well, we've only got 15 seconds, so thanks for joining in. You are a good co-host, good creator of information. Call in anytime and say hello to Jermaine for us.
Will do. See you guys next week.
Okay.
Bye, bye. Leon.
All right.
Okay, hold on, Chad and Brian.
Listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
Well, for most of America, this could be the toughest time in your life. Never in the history of history has the issue of alleged debt been such an area of distress. Or is it? I'd like to invite you to think about a life of financial freedom, abundance, and wisdom. Well over 10 years ago, I participated in the largest and most successful financial relief campaign in U.S. history. Today, this continues on here on the Achieve Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and take your power back, now is the time. If you're in alleged credit card debt of any kind here in the U.S., this is your time to break free and begin your ascension process. This is for you. Email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. Take back your power now.